May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You guys might have just gotten the best sermon right there from the kids, but I'm going to go ahead anyways. Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. God will hack down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees will fall. That is part of the promise from the prophet Isaiah that we read today. It's in the chapter right before what we read from. God will hack off branches, the tallest and oldest trees will be felled, entire forests will be cut down. All that will be left, as far as the eye can see, are dead, hacked up, lifeless stumps. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. That is the promise from the prophet John the Baptist today. A great one is coming whose job it is to sort the righteous and productive and useful wheat from the unrighteous and unhelpful and wasteful chaff. And the chaff will be burned and destroyed. The good news does not always sound very good, does it? Our God we know to be one of love and generosity, the Prince of Peace, we might say at this time of year, the one who welcomes children and strangers and widows, the one who commends us to love our enemies and to pray for those who harm us, a God of creation and new life, a God whose coming we look for with hope and expectation and joy. How can it be that this God will also be the one who fells entire forests, leaving behind only bare stumps? How can this be the God who will burn with unquenchable fire? In the time of the prophet Isaiah, the people of the Judah looked around them and they really saw a lot of stumps. The nation of Israel to their north had just fallen to the Assyrian Empire, and now the Assyrians are coming to subjugate the people of Judah under their rule. It will only be a little more than 100 years before their kingdom is totally and entirely decimated by another empire, the Babylonians. The prophet Isaiah is there to tell them that it's actually going to get much worse than they had even imagined. Great forests will be felled, great cities will be laid to waste, great people will be killed and left in the streets to rot. The family tree of David, a king who offered peace and prosperity and harmony to the people, well, his family tree will be cut down. There is no hope for their children or their descendants or their future. Perhaps there are a few stumps in your life too, perhaps not quite as dramatic as an impending army, but maybe there are things in your own life that look dead or hacked apart or hopeless. A relationship or a situation that might look to be without the possibility for change or growth or new life. The Jewish people that John the Baptist speaks to are not in such a different situation than Isaiah's audience. Now, hundreds of years later, they are under the thumb of a different empire. This time, it's the Romans. They long for a Messiah to come and finally free them once and for all from the subjugation of others. Some think that John the Baptist might just be that one. But John tells them that it's not him. He's only come to prepare the way. And to many's great dismay, preparing the way does not mean amassing armies or preparing for a fight or undermining Roman rule. Instead, it means repenting, turning to God in total trust and in total humility, preparing their hearts. And the one who is coming is not just to burn the Romans. John the Baptist directs his fiery words at the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees who show up. No one will be spared from this unquenchable fire, not even the people of God. Perhaps in your own life, you are looking to be saved from something too. You're looking for something to change, looking to be freed. And perhaps John's reminder that the change must first happen in your own heart seems a little unhelpful or offensive or harsh. It is true that both of these readings today, both of these promises, might do a lot to push us or to frighten us or even to condemn us. As John says, even now the axe is lying at the foot of the tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down. But, if the stump is the place for new life to begin, if the stump is where that promising green shoot comes from, if Isaiah is right, then it might not be such bad news that the axe is at the foot of the tree after all. The good news that both the prophet Isaiah and John the Baptist seek to reveal to us today are that God's mercy and God's justice are not opposites. God's mercy and God's judgment are, in fact, one and the same. Cutting down trees is painful. The process of winnowing out the chaff might be painful, but death and destruction and endings are necessary for new life to begin, for growth, for new beginnings. There is always pain before there is healing. The winnowing fork and the axe are as much a sign of new life and new growth as the shoot from the stump of Jesse is. In his coming to earth on that first Christmas, today, perhaps especially at the end of time, in his coming, Jesus will sort out and burn up anything that keeps us from the reordered creation, anything that keeps us from living in that peaceable kingdom that Isaiah imagines for us and that our kids so smartly said, "I hope I'm there to see it." Jesus is committed to the reordering of creation, to bringing that beautiful image about. Jesus is committed to creating a kingdom where the wolf can lie down with the lamb, where the poor and the meek are lifted up, where swords are beaten into plowshares, and where children no longer have to fear injury or harm. Reordering our world, reordering the entire cosmos, means sifting out anything that is in opposition to God and God's reign. Even that which might seem to us like a natural and normal part of our world, like war or accidents or lions hunting for prey. John the Baptist comes to prepare the way and to cue us into this reordering. John the Baptist comes to help us look for Jesus coming and to recognize what is about to happen. He encourages us to repent of the things we've done wrong and to turn back to God, so that we are participants in this great recreation when it comes, so that we might work alongside God to bring God's peaceful and beautiful kingdom about. But even when we don't repent, or even when we can't repent, Jesus is still so committed to this reordering of the entire cosmos that he will come to reach into every single human heart and to separate the wheat from the chaff, to fell the dead trees so that new shoots can grow. the winnowing may indeed be painful. Because it's painful to let go of a part of yourself, and our ability to mess up and make mistakes and sin, well, it's a certainly part of who we are. It's a part of being human. That is where God's judgment is also shown to be God's mercy. Jesus does not seek to sift through our hearts just because he can. Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. Jesus comes to save us from one another and from the chaos of creation and sometimes from ourselves. Jesus seeks to remake creation into a place where each and every one of us can live in safety and peace, where violence isn't needed even for a wolf to get a decent meal, and where every person is cherished and beloved and has a home. Today's promise is one that tells us just because we can't recognize the good news doesn't mean it's not there. Today's promise is one that assures us that even when God's ways appear destructive and frightening, we can still trust in Jesus' love and mercy. Today's promise is one that assures us that a shoot shall come from the stump and that the kingdom of God is near. Thanks be to God. Amen.